Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty, text number 4. Keshava. Chapter 1, text 4. Yes, sir.
Naivam yata paribhavo shabhavit katanchin.
Naivam yata paribhavo shabhavit katanchin.
Matsam shayasya vibhavonna hanasya nityam.
Matsam shayasya vibhavonna hanasya nityam.
Anta kalim yadukulasya vidhaya venu. Sambasya vanni niva shanti mupai midhama.
Sambasya vanni niva shanti mupai midhama.
Naivan yata paribhavosya bhavet kathanchen.
Naivan yata paribhavosya bhavet kathanchen.
Matsam shayasya vibhavona hanasya nityam. Anta kalim yadukulasya vidhaya venu.
Anta kalim yadukulasya vidhaya venu.
Stambasya vanni niva shanti mupai midhama.
Stambasya vanni niva shanti mupai midhama.
Naivan yata paribhavosya bhavet katanchen. Matsam shayasya vibhavona hanasya nityam.
Matsam shayasya vibhavona hanasya nityam.
Anta kalim yadukulasya vidhaya venu.
Anta kalim yadukulasya vidhaya venu.
Stambasya vanni niva shanti mupai midhama.
Thank you.
Okay, word for word. Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Anyataha.
Anyataha.
From another cause. Paribhava. Defeat. Asya. Of this dynasty. Bhavet. There can be. Kathanchit. By any means. Matsam shrayasya. Which has fully taken shelter of me. Vibhava, with its power. Unnahanasya, unrestricted. Nityam, always. Antaha, within. Kalim, a quarrel. Yadukulasya, the Yadu dynasty. Vidhaya, inspiring. Venustambasya, of a clump of bamboo plants. Vanim, a fire. Eva, as. Shantim, peace. Upaimi, I shall achieve. Dhamma, my eternal personal abode.
My eternal personal abode. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna thought, that's interesting. We're hearing what Krishna thought. And this is in the 11th canto, so we already went through the 10th canto of knowing about Krishna's personality. So here, this is such a delicate, it was put afterwards, so we can see here's how Krishna is thinking. Lord Krishna thought, no outside force could ever bring about the defeat of this family, the Yadu dynasties, whose members have always been fully surrendered to me and are unrestricted in their opulence. But if I inspire a quarrel within the dynasty, that quarrel will act just like a fire created from the friction of bamboo in a grove. And then I shall achieve my real purpose and return to my eternal abode. I think before I read the purport, we should just read the verse before, just so we get the continuity here. And the verse before, the Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty, which was protected by his own arms, to eliminate the kings who with their armies have been the burden of this earth. Then the unfathomable Lord thought again to himself, although some may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion it is not yet gone, because there still remains the Yadu dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. So that gives us a little context. So now in this verse, the purport was, even though Lord Krishna wanted to arrange for the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, he could not personally kill them, as he had killed many demons, because the Yadu dynasty was his own family. One may ask why Lord Krishna did not arrange for them to be killed by others. What do you think? Anybody have an idea on that? Nobody could kill them. They were protected. What do we say? Rake Krishna, More K, More Krishna, Rake K. That's such a nice saying. Everybody kind of knows that one. Not exactly sure where it came from, but it's a saying that's very soothing, that if Krishna is protecting you, no one can kill you. And if it's time that Krishna says for you to go, there's nothing that can save you. So it really just puts it back in perspective. So here, he's dealing with the whole dynasty. It was because Lord Krishna's, because the dynasty, the Yadu dynasty was his own family. One may ask why Lord Krishna arranged for them to be killed by others. Therefore, it is said in this verse, Keshava. All together then. Okay, can we read that all together? Well, there it is. Because the Yadu dynasty was the Lord's own family, no one within the universe was capable of killing them, not even the demigods. So that's an interesting point to think of. Prabhupada would say often that we're joining Krishna's family. This is our real family. And we know that there's sometimes quarrels amongst family members and there's different disagreements among family members. That's kind of natural. But it's still at your family, so you go on. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that no one within the universe was capable of even insulting the members of the Yadu dynasty, what to speak of defeating or killing them. The reason is given here by the word mat samshrayasya. The members of the Yadu dynasty had fully taken shelter of Krishna. Thank you. And therefore, they were always under the personal protection of the Lord. It is stated here, Mare Krishna. Hey, there you go. Krishna Mare. I might have heard that somewhere. If Krishna protects someone, no one can kill him. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can save him. Krishna had originally requested all of his associates, along with the demigods, to appear on earth to assist him in his pastimes. So that's nice to remember too, that Krishna had originally requested all his associates, along with the demigods, to appear on earth to assist him in his pastimes. So we understand that point also as, three thoughts came in at the same time. How to put them in order. One of them is when you leave this body, devotees that leave, they are leaving. They're leaving quite frequently all the time now. Where do they go? So we were told by Srila Prabhupada that when one leaves his body in Krishna consciousness, he goes to another place where Krishna is having his lila. So these personalities that came to assist in his lila, there are different groups. There's the nityasiddhas, there's the actually the sadhanasiddhas, and the demigods, which they're in a kind of a special category. But for us, the idea is that this is where you could very likely appear in a very short period of time. Probably for everybody in the room, less than 100 years. That's safe to say, maybe less than 50, 25, 10, and counting. So, here's where you could be. Like we know about the Munichari gopis, that they had bodies of gopis. They were in Vrindavan. They were with Krishna. But yet they still had not become completely free from their anarthas. Sometimes we become a little concerned that nishta, I should be free from all these anarthas. But the anarthas go away at different stages, and in different ones go away differently for different people. It's individual. And in the Munichari gopis, it explained that they got rid of the last element of the anarthas when Krishna was blowing his flute for the rasa dance. So just see how close you can still be and still have some anartha in the body of a gopi with Krishna in lila. Is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Saradarshan, he explained that So it was just on the other side of the door, but their husband was between them and the door, so they couldn't get out. So what do you think happened to their intensity of wanting to be with Krishna? You made it. You got a gopi body, so you're thinking, you know, we think according to the bodies we're in, most of us. Of course, there's a subtle body and a spiritual body, but generally it's understood that we think according to the body we're in. So there Krishna is, you made it this far, and you can't go to the rasa dance. You think that, oh well. What do you think that the intensity did to them at that point? You could say pushed them over the edge. That's it. You know, there's no more use for this material body. I'm giving it up completely. So, just that interesting point about how they assist him in his pastimes. So you thought, I could assist Krishna in his pastimes in the rasa dance. Now his pastimes are coming to an end on this particular planet. So we also know, Prabhupada said that his pastimes are going on constantly. He said, just at the time, Prabhupada said, so it is 6:30 here, but it now 6:30 has passed, but somewhere else it is 6:30. I think that was in LA. So Krishna's pastimes are rounding up here, but they're going on other places. All right. Krishna wanted to remove, what is this? Now that his pastimes are coming to an end on this particular planet and be transferred to another planet in another universe, Krishna wanted to remove all of his associates from the earth so that in his absence they would not continue constitute a burden. So, how's that? How would it be a burden to have the Yadu dynasty, all the demigods and these undefeatable soldiers on the planet? Wouldn't it be just like a great boon to have so many wonderful personalities there? Evidently, here's the right reason. Since the powerful Yadu dynasty, being the Lord's personal family and army, could not possibly be defeated by anyone, Krishna arranged an internal quarrel, just as the wind in a bamboo forest sometimes rubs bamboos together and creates a fire that consumes the entire forest. So this example Prabhupada would often use about a forest fire, and he said that nobody, well, in different times, people don't go and set fires to forests, but now there's arsons, but just there's forest fires that no one sets on fire. It's just a natural occurrence, because we understand now by the scientific explanation that the fire actually helps germinate the seeds. There's many seeds from different forests that fall into the ground, and they get germinated or they come up when there's a fire. So the fire is a part of a natural occurrence. And it occurs here in bamboo because they grow so close to each other. When the wind blows, they rub against each other, and that produces the friction. So that also does it. And then there's a forest fire that burns the whole forest down. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has pointed out that ordinary people, hearing of the adventures of the Yadu dynasty, might think that the heroes of the Yadu dynasty are as worshipable as Krishna, or they are independent controllers. Well, in one sense they're worshipable, but it's like, this is similar to demigod worship, that it's not that they're disrespected. It's just the second offense to the holy name is considered the demigods. We usually say right after that, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, but you can just stop there for a second, the demigods. Or you can, for that matter, you can say anybody is independent of Krishna. Because sometimes we group it all together and we just think, well, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva aren't independent of Krishna. But we're not independent of Krishna. No one's independent of Krishna. So what does that do for fault finding? And what does that do for judgmentalness if you consider these things, because Lord Chaitanya says, Chanada peace and Echena Chorda peace. That one should be ready to offer all respects to others. So you have to hook those two together. It's a very important point in Krishna consciousness, because I was looking at, my son was up in New Vrindavan, he took some videos of there, the different things that are going on, and you were there doing some magic tricks. So I was looking at the magic tricks, and I says, oh, I see what he's doing. He's distracting you with one hand, while on the other hand, he puts up a fire and he brings it out of his pocket in the back, I think. I don't know. So I was noticing the whole way that illusion and magic works is distractions. You look over here, in the meantime, the other hand does something. So I was thinking about that how Maya works, because Maha is the great illusion, that Krishna says, look over here. Look at the bodily conception of life, and then everything's taking place and you don't see anything. Because, you know, like with magicians, they are really, how did he do that? They cut somebody in half, this other thing's floating in the sky. How are they doing that? And there's their ways they're doing it. So, of course, Krishna is the best magician. And how's he doing that? So the distraction, that's the principle of how this Krishna's getting away with everything. He causes you to look someplace else. So you look someplace else, you look to see, well, look what this person's doing. Look what happened to me. Look at this, look at that. And in the meantime, the illusion's taking place and you're caught in it. You're caught in the illusion. We generally, like especially with magic, we like that. Look how he did that. I don't know how he did that. It's fun to be illusion, but in Krishna consciousness, it causes you to get another birth and death and old age and disease and the threefold miseries. So this one, there, Krishna is asking you to be sober about this and recognize no one's independent of Krishna. Everything's going under his direction, his plan. That's one of the definitions of God, a secondary name, is that he's controlling everything. But we know from the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Disciplic Succession, he had written that the pure love of God is intrinsically integrated into everything. It's there. That's also the motive. That's also everything's going on. By the internal potency is always present. It's just covered for different persons by the cloud of the material energy. But you can get a sunny day. They always, in fact, that used to be a religious theme. There'd be a picture of a cloudy day with like a couple rays coming through. So it's the same idea that we may be in covered by the illusion, which is very scientifically explained about how the senses and sense objects create an image in the mind. The mind, as soon as it thinks about anything, it wants to possess it. I am mine. And it's all expansions of the idea that we're separate and independent of Krishna. And therefore, the samsara continues life after life. But in the human form of life, Durlabha Manasa Janma, Prahlad Maharaj says that this human form of life is rare and temporary, but it has something meaningful about it. There's something very meaningful, because in the human form of life, even though we've gone through at least 8 million species of life, probably more than once, that's a lot. I compare it to a treadmill. Nowadays, they're kind of popular for running in place. People get them because it's too hot to run outside, so they put television, air conditioning, and they can run in place. But in when they were first designed, they were designed as a to use that energy. In fact, I've often thought now with the green age that if they hooked all these treadmills into that they have in workout centers, whatever, gyms, fitness programs, and they connected them up to generators, you could increase how much pressure is by increasing the generator. They could be generating enough electricity to run their whole building, and more people would join that gym because of the green idea, that you're not just wasting energy, you're actually utilizing it to do something with it. So the treadmills originally were used, they called it a PTO, power takeoff. I forgot what the O for. Because anyway, the shaft that came out was connected to a device for doing things. They used to do it to, they had washing machines that ran off of, so you'd run on your treadmill and it would run the washing machine. They had all these things. So, the treadmill that we're, the living entities are on, is connected to another pulley right up around where his head is. And in that pulley, there's boots. Big boots. Adiatmic, adidaivic, and adibodhic. And as he's running on this treadmill, where is he going fast? He's going nowhere fast. But at the same time, he's being hit with these adiatmic, adibodhic, and so that's, in fact, one time I did a whole thing where all the chains in the different, the tread that you're running on and the mechanism, they can all have aspects of Krishna consciousness and fulfilling the example. So one could get a picture of the changing bodies that you're not just running, but you're running on this treadmill going nowhere fast except your next body. So we're not independent of Krishna, and even though the illusion is to distract us so the magic can take place and you can get another body, in the human form of life, you're giving a break where you can actually see what's taking place. So what's taking place is that we're not the body. We have turned away from Krishna into the fruitive activity plane of existence, trying to eat the fruit in the Garden of Eden from the forbidden tree. Should have offered the fruit instead of taking it, right? So then you have to work hard, you have to suffer. It's actually the, you know, they make analogies, but who can understand the analogies? Fruit, fruitative, beguiled by the serpent, envy beguiles the intelligence. That's how the distraction takes place. And so we should understand that no one's independent. And because we're not independent, the demigods are not independent, which is what it's saying here. And since Florida, if you drive in Florida, they call it a no-fault state. The insurance is no-fault insurance. We have to understand that nobody is actually directly guilty or not guilty of anything that's taking place, because everything's going under Krishna's direction. So we have to bring it up to full Krishna consciousness and not hold anyone to blame for ourselves in a way that it's going to cause us to go back into the bodily conception of life, take Krishna out of the picture, think that we're independent. So even here with his very own family members, he's explaining that how this material world works, how he brings in a show and he has to leave a show. And because of their nature, these are kshatriya warriors. They're, that's their nature. That, and I don't know, probably not so much for devotees, or especially older devotees, but when one was young, sometimes an altercation could take place, and in that fight, and in that situation, you don't actually feel anything at the time. Right afterwards, everything hurts, but at that particular time, there's a special adrenaline or bodily mechanism that takes care of it. So the Yadu dynasty, such great warriors, it's a glorious finale. You know, and that's their element. And then you just go, it's just like, I recall once, I think it was a Western or something, when I was growing up, that they would have quicksand. I never really saw it, but it was one of the phenomena that you heard about. And someone gets in quicksand, they generally sink, and then they disappear. So I figured that in the stage, they had a trapdoor under it, and as they trapdoor opened up, they came out of the scene and went to the next one, because it's done on a performance, it's a movie. So like that, we drift out of view from here, but the trapdoor opens and we go into our next body. So it's not like death is based usually on impersonalism, voidism philosophy, that when you die, it's over. I mean, if you think about voidism philosophy, that's the element of it, is when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. In fact, they had this one scientific experiment in the 60s where they trained a gorilla to use sign language. And they had actually quite a good conversations with a gorilla, what the gorillas think about things. So they asked the gorilla what happens at the time of death. And so what do you think a gorilla said? He wasn't a devotee gorilla. Huh? Oh, he signed. He said that, Oh, you're just keeping the bugs away. That, he says, you go into a dark hole. So he's a voidist. Later on, became a big Buddhist. But this is what animals think. You know, you see someone eats, or you know what happens. You go into a dark hole and you go to sleep. So the voidists, that's what they think. And a lot of people, they don't practice it as a philosophy, because this age, no one's very thoughtful. Manda samanda matyo manda bhagya. But they think when you're dead, that's it. You're dead. I think my mother once says, you live for a while, but you're dead for a long time. You know, so she didn't know either that she was a latent voidist, you know, so they don't think about it. But these other ones that are moonies, they think about stuff and they expand on it. So anyway, it's not like that. We're so kindly been liberated by Srila Prabhupada to understand that you go through another species of life, and that everything you do, you're accountable for. Even though you're not the doer, activities are carried out by the modes of nature, you're still accountable for all your actions. So one has to understand, how's that? If I'm not the doer, why am I accountable for it? And I give the example for that, which I think works really good, is somebody was arrested for drunk driving, and they say, the guy says, you weren't acting your own self. He says, you were, that wasn't you that was driving. He said, that was the alcohol that was driving. So he said, well, then arrest the alcohol. You know, so you don't arrest the modes of nature. He made the choice, that point, and specifically for us, as devotees, we now have the ability to see clearly the choice. In fact, generally you make the right decisions. In the Sri Upanishad, it says one should know the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side. So why do you see them side by side? Is so you can make the choice. You can make the choice. And then, of course, for myself, because I think about these things sometimes, I actually made two columns, and I listed the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side. And I said, well, that's only two columns. There should be one more column. Who knows what the one other column should be? Okay. I guess I didn't say it enough yet. So I'll say it again. Here's the hint. When you make the hint, everybody gets it like that. We've been trained really well. Okay, the process of nescience, let's call that the external potency. How about the process of knowledge? bhakti mam abhijananti. Let's call that the internal potency. So now if you have two columns, external one side, internal on the other side, what could you put in the middle? Tathashta Shakti. Sometimes the waves come in, covers it up, sometimes the waves go out. So we have these three. So now for myself, I'd like to have everything practical so I can use it at the treadmill thing. I'd like to have it so it's useful. So I said, what Sanskrit character looks just like a three, but maybe with a little smiley face next to it? Oh. So I said, let me try this out. Let me try the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge and tathashta shakti, the internal, external, and the marginal, all together. Let me see if I could see that by the mercy of Prabhupada and the internal potency, who sometimes we name and sometimes we don't name. And then I was noticing everywhere you put this, because a lot of times the impersonalists, they like to call this a light. But Prabhupada has trained us very practically that says a light means discrimination. You turn off all the lights. If there's no light, it's all one. You can't see anything. You can't tell one thing from another. So with this light of the external, the internal, and your choice of being marginal, this is everywhere. This is what the Vedas are presenting. This is the knowledge of your position, the internal potency, the external potency. Do we ever say Om Namo Bhagavate Namah Om? Om Namo. We use Om everywhere. And if you connect it up, if you connect it to have meaning, then when you say it, which we do say so many things, it takes us back into consciousness. Because when you do the same thing a lot, there's a a tendency, rote or mechanical or niyamagraha. There's sometimes I do it and I'm conscious, and sometimes I just do it because it's the time to do it. Everybody off their bases is you gotta get, and I'm thinking actually it's quite a bit harder to be conscious. It takes an effort to be conscious. So the default is to just do it without being conscious. But when we're hearing, it's in we're precipitating a request for you to be conscious. So whenever you say Nama, Om, or Om Namo, you say that this is, because even Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, look what that did for Dhruva Maharaj. That mantra is very powerful. Krishna, Vasudeva, where's Vasudeva? You know any place where he is? He's everywhere. But for us, is he impersonal Vasudeva? No, this is Bhagavata. Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavate. It's under Bhagavate. You can yuktize everything in Krishna's service. You can utilize everything in Krishna's service. So that opportunity is everywhere. That's the vision. That's the reality. And then you're not distracted by the magic of the material of the Maha mantra back onto the treadmill of samsara, bump, 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 being kicked over and over again. I better finish the purport, I'm sorry. And I didn't say Jai Tam Surito Pangor. You know what Pangor is? Lame. Pangor, Mama Manda. You know what Mama Manda is? Ami Manda. Manda, dull. But Krishna, lotus feet, actually not just Krishna, it's Radha's and Krishna's lotus feet are everything for me. So it's Jayatam Surito Pangor, and it's Jayatam, which means two, it's plural. So we're saying it to this Radha and Krishna, Padambojo, to their lotus feet is everything. And even though I'm misdirected, that's my part. That's the illusion of being identified with this body and trying to do things still, because we're now part of Krishna's family, we're under his protection. Prabhupada brought us into, what's your Gochar? You know, the family line? How do you say that? Gopa. goat truck. Yeah, the other one's the cow in the goat truck. He says, you can put down achyuta, is it? Achyuta. Now, achyuta, what's the meaning of achyuta? And in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna calls Krishna achyuta in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So how does Prabhupada explain what achyuta means, infallible, in what capacity? Anybody remember that from the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita? It's easy to skip that one. Huh? In his protection of his devotees. And since Arjuna, he's saying, we're in the middle of a battle here, and this looks, they're very serious warriors, and they're all here to kill me. So he calls Krishna achyuta, because you never fail to take care of your devotees. So even though achyuta sometimes will say infallible, that's kind of easy. God's infallible. That makes sense. But because of our devotee nature of being trained by Srila Prabhupada, he's pointing out that that is infallible in taking care of you. If we could be devotees, we're trying. So we're still under his protection, because even if you go to 1:5:17 and 19, Narada Muni talking to Vyasadeva, he says, even if somehow or other one doesn't continue in devotional service, he can never again be completely forgetful of Krishna, because he'll remember that Krishna consciousness. So once again, I'll try that. Okay. Since the powerful Yadu dynasty, being the Lord's personal family and army, could not possibly be defeated by anyone, Krishna arranged an internal quarrel, just as the wind of bamboo forest sometimes rub the bamboos together and create fire, which consumes the entire forest. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has pointed out that ordinary people hearing the adventures of the Yadu dynasty might think that the heroes of the Yadu dynasty are as worshipable as Krishna or as independent controllers. In other words, people polluted by Mayavadi philosophy might see the Yadu dynasty as being on an equal level as Krishna. Therefore, to establish that even the most powerful living entities can never equal or surpass the Supreme Lord Krishna reigns for the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. So, do we have any questions or comments on the points that I should have made that I missed? Thank you, Fran. So we need a runner, mic runner.
Prabhupada explained that. So if someone thinks, or a devotee amongst us, thinks that how is this Jadava is a burden, but it's a burden of love, Prabhupada says. In 1st Canto, 15th chapter, 34, he explains how actually they departed. This is not actually burden of beast that causes
That's
problem. Rather, it is burden of love. Just like example given in the purport that if a businessman makes his double profit, it looks like too much money came. That doesn't mean he is feeling like burden of, you know, problem or something. Rather, it's a burden of love. It is burden, maybe he got double than he was supposed to make. But it is a burden of love. So Prabhupada, in the 1:15:34, Prabhupada explained actually this these Jadavas, that are related to Krishna, but not really eternal associates. The eternal associate, they stayed with Krishna in Dwarka, became invisible. Like in television channel, you can turn the channel to different, and you say, what happened the previous one? Well, it's there, but you don't have a visibility right now. So their visibility was Prabhas. There's another place near Dwarka where this Leela took place, that all the demigod who expanded, example Prabhupada gave, when Lord Krishna and Jambavati prayed to Shiva to have a child, then Ganesh entered into body of their child, Krishna and Jambavati. child. So both in that body, both demigod and the eternal associate or their son is existing. Now the in this case, that Ganesh has the same form, he was not as a Ganesh, but as an eternal associate of the Lord, and went to Prabhas, and Prabhupada gave that example like if somebody got a splinter, thorn, pierced, and it hurts, and to take it out, you need another thorn. So another thorn, that are the actually expansion of all the demigods that join in Krishna's Leela. So they are called Bhoma Deha, body of Bhoma, just for a particular purpose. They are still there in the demigod planet, but this expanded just for a particular purpose. When the purpose is over, those body of the demigod separated from the eternal associate, and they got drunk, they could not even recognize each other. Because of the destruction, it has to take place, and eventually all disappear. Now, very nicely explained by Jiva Goswami Pada, the three perception took place. Narad Muni himself witnessing this. That for the atheist, maybe this one illusion is created by Krishna. And that Krishna himself was shot, later on we read. And all the Jadavas, they killed each other and disappeared. Then Narad Muni also interviewed all the demigods who are in the outer space. What happened? Why you all are here? They are all lamenting, crying. Because the Lord just disappeared with all his entourage in a big airplane going back to spiritual world. And they are seeing this is end of Lord's Leela, and they are very depressed. They are very sad. They wanted Lord to stay here. But who saw that? Only demigod. Nobody else saw that. Then Narad Muni further went, he interviewed even to the coward boys. Just for an example, he says, where were you yesterday? He said, with the Lord. We are praying. What about today? Playing. Even though others, they saw that actually everything packed and gone, but they never saw actually they are came to this world, played for a while, now going back. They didn't see that. They are just with Krishna absorption, such an intense, always, that they always with Krishna, they never thought this is the question. They were in the material world, now in the spiritual world. They are going back, something like that. But all exist. They all three vision exist. Depends who wants to see which one.
It says to understand Krishna, one of the first things is to recognize he has inconceivable potencies. And how great Krishna is takes one to know one. How we can develop the ability to see the greatness of Krishna. And in one sense, you can relish that. But at the next moment, like Mother Yasoda, what looking at the universal form in Krishna's mouth, said, well, he's probably hungry. I have to feed him. You know, so there's always the combination of the tattva and the rasa. So you go back and forth with this, the tattva, but then ultimately it's the rasa for the devotees. So you can see Krishna individually. Each one of us, he interacts with each one of us like that. Famous verse we like to remember from time to time, the 10.14.7 purport by Sanatana Goswami, where the verse is that Krishna has unlimited qualities. So he has one quality unique for each individual, which means each individual is special because the quality that you have to give to Krishna in your unalloyed devotion, there's no one else that can give that to Krishna. So it's, even though Atmarama, Pararamata also is there. Atmarama means self-satisfied, but Pararamata means he enjoys with the association. We see that Krishna's always, he's never alone. He's always enjoying. So this is, we're developing our personal relationship. Oh, we have a question. Another question over there. Or a comment. Yes, over on the women's side. Thank you. So, that aspect is the primary development of our consciousness is our relationship with Krishna comes first. And it includes all other relationships through the relationship with Krishna. Because if you put some other relationship before Krishna's, then Grandfather Bhishma's definition of love is all wouldn't be the same. And usually, otherwise, it has some degrees of illusion in there that has a residue. That residue causes another body to manifest. So it's not that any relationship is minimized, but it's done in relationship. Manasa Deha Geha Bhakti Vinod Thakur has so many nice songs on, I take care of devotees of my family because they're your devotees. I take care of every living entity because they're all your parts and parcels. So everything is included. Yes.
Excuse me. You brought up the topic of how do we explain that if we're not the doer, but yet are responsible for our actions.
Right.
That came up many classes back, and that topic. And after the class, I thought a way to explain that could be we are not the doer, but we are the chooser.
Yeah, that's
and cool. The two choices, I saw it as two choices, either the internal energy or the external energy.
That's
we
our
choose to be
spot.
A puppet in the hands of either of those energies. Because we are Tatastha Shakti, we can choose to be influenced by either one. So I saw two choices rather than three.
Well, the third was your choice. That it wasn't another choice. It was that's our position.
That's our position.
Is in between.
Not another choice.
And the idea was to incorporate that into the word Om. So whenever you use Om, because kind of like the impersonals try to capture it with an impersonal understanding. But for us, we can see the internal potency, the ex. If you can see that, what light is that you're seeing the internal potency by? So that's. Petrodia, that enthusiasm for you to be able to see is the presence of the internal potency within you already. And then by the time you get to the sixth line, the swaha, you can start to chinta beta beta tattva. Everything, Krishna is in you and you're in Krishna, you're complete. Like in the material world, they have us, the songs are saying half now and whole. There's the idea of being not complete unless love is present. So the Om is to have you be present with the love, and then you're whole and you're self contained. When you look around, you notice wherever you are, because Om's all pervading. And in any circumstance, Krishna's always with you. And if you're in thinking of the internal potency is also present there. And you're there, that's complete. And in that complete Atmarama, that even in Atmarama, that there's a lot can be done with that too. Because you're and Krishna are your part and parcel. You're separate. You're not really ever separated from Krishna. Bhayogo Mena, that was Krishna speaking to the gopis through Uddhava's message, where he says, we're never actually separated. You know, and you think, when you're thinking in your mind, you think that that's your mind, but that's also my energy too. And specifically the way you're thinking, that's not my separated energy, that's me. So, I mean, I'm always with you, you're always with me, but that's the tattva with the rasa, Krishna, how can you have the separation? So, we're self-contained, and we're supposed to think of that, 40 times a day, when you say the word swaha, you can enter into that remembrance of that principle, because with the illusion, you can get distracted, and then, something takes place, and you think, oh, how's amazing. How did that take place? So you got distracted. You didn't see the director's cut. So sometimes they have these magic shows, and they show you how the magic was done. You know, against all etiquette, they show you they didn't actually saw her in half. They put her under like this and stuff like that. That's the way it made it look. So Krishna has given us the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, so you can see how the illusion's taking place. You can be free from it once you see it by remembering Krishna with the quality of your desire to be with him. You had something to say, Trivikram, you're holding the mic.
Just a minor comment, really. The reason, our commentators gave the reason that the Yadu seem burdensome was that people may equate them with the Supreme Lord and actually worship him. But in another verse elsewhere, it was stated that because they were super powerful, you know, the ordinary heartlings would be no match to them. You know,
when I saw it, I thought of it similar to the way the Prabhupada explains demigod worship. You know, in other words, there is a proper respect, but you don't, the difference between devotees and the non-devotees from demigod worship is different. They see the demigods as being kind of like all gods. There's so many gods, what do they call that when there's so many different gods? Polytheism. Where we say, no, they're all acting under Krishna's direction, their bodies are still made of the material elements. We have all the proper knowledge to see it properly. It's not that we don't respect them. We don't worship them independent of Krishna. We can worship them as in relationship to Krishna, just like Durga, Lord Shiva. That there's proper way of offering respects to them. We have God Katyayani, the gopis pray to that Krishna as their husband. So that it's always primary. Always has to be Krishna. If you just think of that, everything fits into that perfectly. Without putting Krishna primarily, it has some element of distraction and illusion. We really have to practice, and that's why we talked about fault finding. That because that one you really kind of have a righteous. I got a good reason this happened to me, and but it. We have a way of dealing with that, which is part of surrender, where we see that nothing happens without Krishna seeing it. And then I remember once with Sita, with your father, he had this nice thing on taking full accountability, you know, where you don't blame anybody. And it was liberating to actually. Now, suppose you would take full accountability for this whole, am I a victim, workshop he did. And after you do that, you can never go back to think, no, I'm a victim. This happened to me. You can actually liberate yourself by taking accountability. So in this Krishna consciousness, in the 11th canto of Bhakti Becoming Up, where I think it's the Avanti Brahman, he says, who am I to blame? He has about 10 verses in a row. Who am I to blame? If you bite your tongue, who am I to blame? Oh, you made me bite my tongue by distracting. You know, who? So the idea is to get, and in fact, when someone's dying, what do they say? He says he has to get himself right with God. Now's the time for him to get himself right. So we're all dying at every moment. We get ourselves right. We become free from, through forgiveness, but not a sentimental forgiveness, but a transcendental platform that's used for humility and prayer type of forgiveness and individuality that Krishna arranged these things. It all gets, you ask Krishna for help, he gets it to you. Thank you very much, our glorious part. Oh, one last thing. I'm leaving in 2 or 3 days, so I was feeling intense separation, even though I'm still here. So what's the name of that when there's... There's three kinds of meeting, three kinds of separation. One of the separations is even while you're still present, you're feeling separation. Babi Malan, is it? Say one more time. Bhavi Viraha. Oh, Viraha. Yeah, when they were in the chariot with... So I was just thinking, I've actually become quite attached, and just to go, my daughter's getting married, I have to leave town, so I was just saying how to, just seeing it, I missed yesterday because my body's not always cooperating, and just to see the deities and devotees is just so wonderful, how to, feeling that separation even though I'm still here, so I was thinking, I am hoping that Krishna's plan, my plan. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.